We have a wonderful God. Amen. I'm going to make some points this morning, and I don't normally ask this, but if you agree with the point, at some point while I'm making it, I want you to say amen, okay? Just say amen. That means you agree with the point. All right? So we have a wonderful God. He's given us some wonderful things. He's given us a perfect Savior. He's given us a perfect book. He's given us a perfect plan to get right with Him. He's given us some wonderful institutions. He's given us the home and He's given us the church. He's given us a perfect method how to get His plan of salvation out. And then He has a perfect will for our lives. And so God's given us all those things, perfect in every way. Every once in a while, a pastor needs to just get up before his people and say, "Don't mess with the things of God." They're perfect in the way that He's given to us. There's nothing that we should add to them, nothing that we should subtract from them. And we just need to quit meddling, as the word the Bible used, and we read a moment ago, we need to quit meddling with the things of God. And so this morning, I've done it before. Lord willing, I'll do it again, but this morning, I'll do it. And just say, let God be God. Quit messing with the things of God. I use as my scriptural reference the story that we read a moment ago about a king who was instructed by God to go to war with another king. Josiah, the king of Judah, heard this king was coming. Necho, he heard that he was coming to wage this war. And instead of just letting things be, he decided to go out and meet King Necho and stop him from going to this war that he was going to. And Necho sent word to him. We read it in verse 21. But he sent ambassadors to him, Josiah, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war, for God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Necho said, "Hey, I didn't come to fight with you, Josiah. I was sent by God to fight this other king. And now you're coming out to war against me. You're meddling with the plan of God because he's with me. And if you meddle with the king of God, he's going to destroy you." Now, I'll remind you real quickly, Josiah was a good king. He became king when he was young. He restored, he cleaned up the temple. He restored a temple worship for the land of Judah, for the tribes of Judah. He was a good king. And yet, he meddled with the things of God. And we might say, looking back on it, why would a good king do that? Why would any person mess with the things of God? But there are people today that are doing the same thing. Now, if you agree with me, again, I want you to say amen. First of all, there are people that are meddling with the perfect Savior, the perfect Son of God that He gave us. They are attacking the virgin birth. They are saying that Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. Well, my Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God. He was born of Mary, who had not known man up until that time, who did not know man until after Jesus was born. And people that say that he was born of a German soldier and Mary are spreading lies straight from the depths of hell. They are messing with the things of God. Jesus was virgin born. He had to be virgin born so there would be no sin-tainted blood coursing through his body that comes from an earthly dad. You take away the virgin-born birth of Jesus Christ and you take away the plan of salvation. He had to be virgin-born. Quit messing with God's Son. Quit meddling with the things of God. Not only was he virgin-born, he lived a sinless life. people are saying, oh, he had something with Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, some people even say he was married to Mary Magdalene. Nothing wrong with marriage. Marriage is a God-given gift. Had a marriage yesterday, told the couple they got married. I think after salvation that marriage is the most wonderful thing, wonderful gift that God has given to mankind. It's a wonderful thing. But Jesus did not have an affair with Mary Magdalene. He was the sinless Son of God. The Bible tells us he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And these people that say, oh no, Jesus was God's Son, but he committed sin. No, he did not. He could not be our Passover lamb. He could not be the sinless Savior. He could not die for our sins if he had sins of his own. Quit messing with the things of God. Quit messing with his Son. There are people that are messing with his book. They meddle with the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture. I like the little words in the Bible that include everything. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God told the authors of this book what to write, word for word, jot for jot, tittle for tittle. Those are punctuation marks. That's what God did. This book was written by God. He told the writers what to write. People are saying, well, yeah, this book was inspired by God the same way that Shakespeare was inspired. Now listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a fan of Shakespeare. I don't think immorality should be held up even if Shakespeare wrote it. I don't think profanity should be held up even if Shakespeare wrote it. There are some things that Shakespeare wrote that Christians ought not to read because they don't honor God. But that Bible was not inspired like some people think that Shakespeare was inspired. God told these men what to write. Some people think, well, yeah, the Bible's inspired. There are some words in the Bible that God told the men what to write, but the other words are theirs. No, that's not what the Bible is. The Bible is word for word out of the mouth of God. It was inspired word for word by God. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we're to live by the words of God, we have the words of God in this book. And by the way, lest anybody wonder what book I'm talking about, because there's a version that comes out every month, I'm talking about the King James Bible. I'm talking about the 1611. And I know there's been they made some changes after it was first published, but I'm talking about this book that has been around for over 400 years, the book that I got saved from, the book that people have read down through the ages. That's the book I'm talking about. We have the Word of God, written by God, preserved by God. He wants us to have it. Quit messing with it. Amen. Don't take words out of it. People take the word virgin out. They say, oh no, Mary was a young maiden. No, she was more than a young maiden. She was a virgin. Don't change the words. Amen. People even try to change John 3:16. They're taking the word begotten out of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. And they're substituting the word born, the only born Son of God. There's a difference between the word born and begotten. We're all born. Begotten means that you make somebody just like you. God made somebody just like him when he made the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God. And so, don't quit messing with the Word of God. It's perfect the way it is. Don't add anything to it. Don't detract anything from it. Amen. Number three, we meddle with his plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is a perfect plan. It was previewed from the Garden of Eden on. It was previewed in the law. It was previewed in the history books in the Old Testament. It was previewed in the poetry part of the Old Testament. It was previewed in the prophets. It came to pass in the Gospels, and the rest of the New Testament looks back to it. This plan was devised by God before he laid the foundations of the world. Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The plan of salvation was always in the mind of God because he knew we were going to be sinful. And look, the plan hasn't changed. People are trying to change it, but it hasn't changed. The plan is simple. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You may be a good person, but my friend, don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that verse means. We come short of the glory of God. Jesus is the glory of God. When we compare our life to him, we come up short. We're sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. To be separated from God. To be separated from God here. To be separated from God for all eternity in that place called hell. That's the penalty, what we owe for our sin. But praise God. What we could not do for ourselves, God did for us. He sent somebody to pay for our sins. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. He came virgin born. He came and lived a sinless life. And then God allowed mankind to nail him to a cross. And on the cross, God laid all of my sin. And all of your sin on his son. And when Jesus was on Calvary, he paid the price for every one of our sins. Amen. I love that song that says, "My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more." Praise God. I don't bear my sins anymore. I'm still a sinner, but I don't bear the penalty of that sin because Jesus Christ bore it for me on Calvary. That's the plan. The plan is he died in our place. And if we'd ask him, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now look, don't mess with that plan. It works. It has worked forever. It will work forever. People try to add to it. Say, "Oh yeah, you need to get saved, but then you need to get baptized." I think you ought to get baptized. I think it's a good way of showing that you have been saved. But you can get into that tank week after week till every tadpole in there knows your name and social security number. And that will not add one thing to your salvation. By the way, we don't have tadpoles in the baptistry, in case you're wondering. Some people think, "Well, you got to join the church." I think it's a wonderful thing to join a church. But there's that joining a church doesn't add anything to your salvation. When you ask Jesus to save you and he saves you, you're as saved as you're ever going to be. You're all the way saved, completely saved, however you want to say it. I love that song that we sing, "Saved by his power divine, saved to new life, sublime life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved." We're saved by a perfect plan of God. Quit messing with it. Don't meddle with it. Number four, we meddle with his institutions. He's given us the home. He's given us the church. Both of those institutions are under attack today. The home is under attack. Satan would like nothing more than to tear down the home. He's behind everything that's been happening to tear down the home. He's behind this thing of giving homosexuals the right redefining marriage as opposed. And I saw it yesterday, the first time I've seen it on a license. In Michigan, the pastor, preacher still has to sign the wedding license, and now there's an extra box under each of the spouse's names for you to check if they're male or female. Who thinks behind that? It's not the homosexual community. That comes straight from the depths of hell. Because Satan wants to attack the home. Some people think that we don't have love for homosexuals. We love homosexuals. We hate their sin. It's an abomination before God. And I know there's going to be a time, and it's already here, where when a pastor stands up and preaches like this, they'll come after him because he's preaching hate. I'm not preaching hate. I'm preaching a God that loves everybody. You see, we assign degrees to sin. In God's sight, there is no degrees of sin. Sin, sin. The sin of homosexuality is just as bad as the sin of lying, just as bad as the sin of murder. Look, there ain't no little sins in God's sight. Sin is sin. And God says we're to love the sinners, and we love the sinners, and we want to bring them to Jesus Christ. Quit messing with His plan. His plan was for Adam and Eve. His plan was for man and woman to be married and form the home and raise their children. That's God's plan. Let's quit messing with it. Let's quit meddling with it. Same thing, the church. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my church, not the deacon's church. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of it. We take our orders from Him. We take our orders from that book. We're not going to add anything to it. We're not going to take anything away from it. There are people today, they're changing how the church operates, and they're setting up man-made leaders, and they're setting up man to take the place where God should be setting in the church. We need to quit messing with God's plan and just stick to God's plan and do what God says. We meddle with His commission. He has a perfect plan to get the gospel out. That plan is for us to go and tell. That plan is for us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every single person needs to hear the gospel. Every single person needs to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every single person needs to have the opportunity to hear that they're a sinner and that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. And God's perfect plan is for us to go and tell. And people mess with it. They say, oh no, that's too confrontational. You shouldn't put people in that position. Look, we're not putting them in that position. God puts them in that position. He's the one that tells them they're a sinner. He's the one that tells them what the penalty of sin is. He's the one that offers life to all who will come to Jesus Christ. Quit messing with the plan. Let's just do what God says. If you agree with everything I've said so far, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I thought you would. Now I'm to my last point. God has a perfect plan for your life.
Amen.
Every single person in this room, God has a perfect plan for your life. It's different for every single one of us. You were not born by accident. You were born on purpose. It's not a coincidence that your parents are your parents. That was in God's provision, His plan, His providential plan. All part of God's plan. Where you live, the experiences you've had in life. I know God sometimes has to change His plan because we're disobedient, but He always has a plan B, always has a plan C. And even when we're disobedient, He's got something ready to put into our life to move us to that place where He wants us to be, to help us become what we want to be. Let me tell you this morning, and you might not want to say amen to this, quit messing with the plan that God has for your life.
Amen.
Josiah said, I know better than God. This king is coming. I'm going to go out and fight him. God didn't tell him to do that. In fact, he got word back from God through Necho, said, hey, I'm not here of my own accord. You think I'd come and fight this war just because I want to? I'm here because your God sent me. Your God, Josiah, not my God. Your God sent me. And I'm here and He's with me. And if you come, and you shouldn't be coming out against me because God didn't tell you to do that. You think you know better than God? You're meddling with God. You're messing with the things of God. Don't do it, or else He'll destroy you. Now again, Josiah was a good king. He honored God. He did the things that God wanted him to do from the time that he was a boy. He did the things that God wanted him to do. But he got to a point in his life when he said, I know better than God what's good for me. And I'm going to go out to this war. We read it. He went to war. He got shot by an arrow. He died. And the people of Judah, he was a good king. The people of Judah, including Jeremiah, lamented for him because he died in that battle. Now listen, God knows more about the plan for your life than you do. God knows better what course your life needs to take than you do.
Amen.
Quit messing with the plan of God for your life. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, hey, I've tried wealth. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. I've tried pleasure. It doesn't satisfy either. I've tried power. It doesn't satisfy. He said, let me tell you the conclusion that I've come to. He said, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. God has a plan for your life. I can tell you this morning, I can't tell you in detail every part of the plan for your life, but I can tell you a part of every plan for every person that's sitting in this room. God's plan for your life includes getting saved. God's not willing that any should perish. God wants every person to come to repentance. And if you've not been saved yet, you are messing with the plan of God for your life. It'll end up in destruction if you're not careful. Just be obedient to the plan that God has for you. Part of that plan is to get saved. Get saved. And he has a plan for every part of our life. Not just the spiritual part of our life. Not just the church life part of our life. For every part. Just let him be God. Let him be God. Quit meddling with God. Quit messing with God. Let God be God.
Amen.
Josiah would have been a lot better off if he would have just stayed home. Just stayed home. Just stayed home. Instead, he went out to war when he shouldn't have. And he got killed. And Judah lost a great king because he meddled with the plan of God. Don't mess with it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being that kind of God that has given us a perfect Savior, a perfect book, some wonderful institutions, a way to get that plan out, and a perfect plan for each of our lives. And I pray that, Father, we wouldn't mess with them. We wouldn't meddle with them. We'd just be obedient. Just be obedient. I pray this morning if there's somebody here that's never received Christ as their Savior, help them to understand that that's part of your plan for their life. They're a sinner. They're separated from you. They need to come to Jesus Christ for payment for their sins. And I pray you'd help them to do that this morning. Help them see the great love that took Jesus to the cross, the great love that draws them to him now. Help them to come. We'll take the Bible, to show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, help us to submit to your plan. Help us to say like Jesus, I don't want to do my will. I want to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Help us to say that, to do it with our lives. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it, Father, as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.